Book of 1 Corinthians, either on Sunday night or Sunday morning. Let's stand together again. I'm sorry. But just one more time for the reverence of God's Word. And just read along. We're going to pick up. I remember last week we kicked in. Paul is dealing with the church here in Corinth that has lots and lots of problems. Every church has lots and lots of problems. If it doesn't have a problem now, it will have someday. And it has problems because it's got people in it. People with all different backgrounds, people with all different kind of problems behind them and so forth. And so you can just expect that. But God has written us in His Word how to deal with these things, both personally and collectively. And one of the things they were doing was that they were kind of divided and having contentions. And one was saying that he was of Apollos, and another was of Cephas, and one was of Paul. And he gave them this answer. He said, is Christ divided? And the obvious answer to that is no. Now, one of the great things that Satan constantly does is try to divide Christian people. And he's got a lot of ways of trying to do that. He likes to divide marriages. He likes to bust up families. He likes to bust up nations. This nation, because of its sinfulness, is literally heading toward a busting. And that's a sad thing. And the only thing that can bring us together is Christ, because Christ is the only thing that's not divided. But he said that in verse number 13. And then he got to talking about the fact that they were being baptized, you know, by these people, and that was becoming a big deal. And Paul said, he said, I baptized none of you in verse 14 except Crispus and Gaius. And he went on there, and he gets down into verse number 17 is where we're going to pick up this week. And he says, for Christ sent me not to baptize. And I said last week, if there's any verse in the Bible that ought to teach that against baptismal regeneration, what I'm talking about here is that getting baptized does not save you. Being baptized is because you're saved, not to be saved. But baptism is important because it speaks that you have identified, you have received Christ, and you have identified yourself with His death. Then you go under the water, His burial, and raised up out of the water, His resurrection. Baptism is not to be lightly talked about, but it is not your salvation. And it's not your salvation if you're sprinkled, and it's not your salvation if you were immersed. You have to get born again first, and then you get baptized. So Paul was saying, God didn't send me to baptize people. What he said, he sent me to preach the gospel, and that's what you'll see here in the next thing. Now I want you to, there's three things that Paul talks about preaching in the text that we're going to read. He said, verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is what Paul said that he was not ashamed of. Can I tell you something? You can get baptized and tell the whole world, and they don't care. But if you get saved by the blood of Jesus, then that bothers them. You go knocking on doors and they'll tell you, I was baptized. But you won't get one out of 100 will tell you they were born again of the Spirit of God and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Baptism doesn't bother this world much because a lot of people trust in it as a religious ritual that does something for them spiritually as to attain favor with God or acceptance with God. But it's the gospel that saves. And he said, God sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Now watch the next thing. Not with wisdom of words. For those of you whom God may call to preach, I would really tie in right here. Because America is full of preaching with the wisdom of words. And the power of the cross and the power of the gospel has been diluted by it. And I am telling you, preachers are being trained in Bible colleges to preach with the wisdom of words. To impress their people. To lift themselves above their people. That I'm more spiritual than you are. I know more. I'm educated. I know more than you do. And you need to look to me and trust in me. And so the trust moves from God to mankind. He said, not with the wisdom of words, lest. He said, if you preach with the wisdom of words, he said, here's what's going to happen. The cross of Christ should be made of none effect. When we get to preaching or living our Christian experience out with the wisdom of words, we make the cross of Christ of none effect. Now, I want to preface this with saying today that the cross is an offense to people. The cross offends people. We're going to preach on that today some. But he said, if you preach with the wisdom of words, he said, the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Keep in mind the context here. He just got through saying, God didn't send me to baptize. If you trust in baptism or your religious stuff, you're making the cross of none effect. You always want to watch for anything in a religious circle that makes the cross of none effect. Verse number 18. For the preaching of the cross. Now, we first of all had the preaching of the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in our place for our sin. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. By the way, that's the way the world looks at it. They just look at the cross as foolishness. Most of the world believes that they must do something or merit or deserve or work somehow or another to be accepted by God. The cross is considered foolishness because it blows all that out of the water. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Amen. And that cross is what saves. And that takes power to save a man. Verse 19, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Now, he's going somewhere with this. Corinth was located in the Grecian Empire. Corinth was the big cosmopolitan. I told you last week it was like the San Francisco of the Mediterranean Sea. It was where all the learned people were. It was where you went to get an education. It was where you went to be somebody in the world's eyes. And they were great with the wisdom of the world. And so God says, I'm going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. And Paul walks into town preaching the cross, preaching the gospel, and says, all of your education and all of your philosophies and all of your psychology and all of your slick sermons won't save one soul. It takes the cross of Jesus Christ to save a man. And the world doesn't like it. But when he comes in chapter 1, he goes straight to the heart of the problem of the church at Corinth. And that was this intellectual world's wisdom business. Verse 20, where is the wise? There's three kinds of people he's going to list here. Where's the wise? Number two, where is the scribe? We're going to look at these later. Where is the disputer of this world? We're going to look at that. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And God do that every time. Let me tell you something. You bust hell wide open with your degree and you're going to think that you're pretty stupid. And I'm not, or you bust hell wide open and you said you didn't need any kind of education. You're going to look pretty stupid. Okay. But you listen to me. God will make foolish the wisdom of this world, because the wisdom of this world will always take you away from the cross into humanism, not into Christ. Verse 21. For after that in the wisdom of God, watch this. The world by wisdom knew not God. That tells me that the world's wisdom is very dangerous. For it's by that they do not know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Not those that were baptized, not those that were confirmed, not those that went through this, that, and the other, but those who believe. Thank God, for believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. Now understand that in Paul's writing here, if you weren't a Jew, you were a Greek. If you weren't a Greek, you were a Jew. That was the essence of talking. You were one or the other. Now, verse 22, here's the third preach. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and it still is today. And unto the Greeks, foolishness, and it still is today. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and, watch this now, Christ, what is the wisdom of God? What is it? Christ. Christ is the wisdom of God. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, watch this, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many noble are called. You don't see many saved, mighty, and big worldly shots people get saved. There's not many of them. It's exactly like the Bible said there. And there's a reason that happens. It has to do with this wisdom of the world situation. Verse 27, for God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh, and here's the whole idea of this whole thing, no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye, by the way, Galatians chapter 6 says, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants all of our fleshly pride, all of our fleshly wisdom, all of it, to be submitted and subdued under the cross of Jesus Christ. He does not want Reggie Kelly to glory in nothing except the cross of Jesus Christ. I am not to glory in my home, my farm, my intellect, my abilities, nothing. I have nothing to glory in except the cross of Jesus Christ. For without that, I would die and go to hell with whatever little intellect I've got and whatever little property I've got. Wouldn't amount to anything. Verse 30, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Christ is made unto us our wisdom. I want to say to you this morning before we start, that Jesus Christ has to be the center of everything that we are and all that we believe. And that if he is not our wisdom, God will turn into our foolishness. And he said he's our wisdom, he's our righteousness, he's our sanctification, he is our redemption. Verse 31, that according as it is written, let him that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Amen and amen. Father, help us to preach today with the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, Holy Ghost of God, in spite of my sorry, low down, wicked, sorry ways, please come and be in this service today in a mighty way. I'm asking, God, that you would speak on the inside of hearts while I preach from the outward. God, that's what it takes. Lord, it's not going to be the wisdom of man or the wisdom of man's words that bring people to Christ, that give us the light to walk in our Christian journey. But Lord, it's going to be the wisdom of Christ, the illumination of the Holy Ghost of the truth of God's word. Lord, help us to see today that the world's wisdom is as far removed as the east is from the west to God's wisdom. And Lord, I pray today that you'll help this congregation today and help me, oh God, to embrace the wisdom of God as opposed to embracing the wisdom of this world. And God, I pray, draw us near to the cross of Calvary today and let us by faith cling to it and hold to it and never forsake it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. And again, let's get right into this passage of Scripture. Verse 17, Paul said, I want to preach today kind of on the preaching of the cross of Calvary, preaching on the wisdom of the world versus the wisdom of God. This coming week, every one of us is going to make decisions. Every week of our life, sometimes every day, we're making decisions. And I pray today that you'll not just say, well, this is just Reggie preaching. I hope that you'll get it. I'm trying to preach the Word of God. I'm trying to preach that will really help us. And I hope today that as you make these decisions that you'll ask yourself this question. When I'm making this decision, is this the wisdom of God or is this the wisdom of the world? Because those decisions based upon those factors determines the successfulness of your life. He said in verse number 17, he was to preach the gospel. In verse 18, preach the cross. In verse 23, preach Christ crucified. And he said, I don't want to do it with the wisdom of words. He said, if I do, I'll make the cross of Christ of none effect. Verse 19, the Bible talks about the wisdom of the wise. God said he would destroy it. In verse 20 and 21, he said, talks about the wise. Now, there's three things I said. He mentions the wise, he mentions the scribe, and he mentions the disputer. Let me tell you first of all about the wise. This is the worldly wisdom crowd, the learned crowd, the professor crowd, the scientific crowd, the education crowd. And by the way, this is specifically applying to you and I of those who control the education of people in America. Now listen to me. Just this week I studied and there's a whole new set of history books coming out going into the public schools of America. And it's not even put out by the education department, the Department of Education is an unconstitutional entity. You read your constitution. It does not permit that besides other departments. But there's an outfit in New York City, New York, that is rewriting the history books of America that America's school children are going to read. And in those, they downplay the founding fathers. They downplay all of our Christian heritage. All that is kicked out to make us a globalist society and to downplay and to take out all the wisdom that this nation was founded with. And they're bringing us in just this week, Planned Parenthood embraced a book. I can't even talk about it. It's so, from this pulpit, it's so sick. And they're trying to get it into 8 to 10 year old citizens. And their plan is, with this group in New York, is to move this book into the school systems of America. Now, what I'm saying is the wise. Now, I want to tell you something. You can be smart as a whip. You can be very worldly wise. I mean, a person that has a lot of, there's a lot of lawyers that are sharp. There's a lot of doctors that are sharp. And I'm thankful for the wisdom that they have. But any wisdom that is not springing forth from Christ becomes a wisdom that will destroy a nation and destroy a country. Worldly wisdom crowd, the learned crowd, the degree. I'm going to say something to you. Those of you who God may call to preach, I would not advise you to go to any Bible college. I'm sorry. They'll steal your faith. Bible colleges have been infiltrated with men who do not believe the Bible any longer. Men who believe the Bible's got mistakes in it. Men who believe God talks out of both sides of his mouth. Men who do not believe in the authority of the Word of God. Men who don't even know if there is they may say, oh, it contains the Word of God, instead of saying is the Word of God. You listen to me. This book is the Word of God. This book is the Word of God. You don't have to ask questions about it, and it doesn't need your mind put above it. We're talking about the learned crowd. I'm actually moving to the second group. That's the scribe group. The first is the wise, who consider the cross foolishness, who mock and intimidate Christianity and scorn Christianity. The second crowd he says you deal with is the scribes. And again, I'm saying right now, this is your Bible scholars. The guys who are always getting up and saying a better translation would have been. Or it should have said in Hebrew. Or it should have said in Greek. That's that scribal crowd he's talking about. We've got it all over America. Let me tell you something. Kids aren't stupid. And after about 35 years of this junk, they'll figure out that if God can't even keep his word straight and the word isn't preserved and you don't have the word of God, if God's a liar and can't even keep his own word, I don't need a God like that. I'm that good a God. Listen, get some sense. Think about this. God is warning you and I as families, as mothers and fathers, as people of God. Listen, stay away from this scribal crowd. Who was it that was constantly challenging Jesus Christ? The Pharisees and the scribes. Scribes, you know what that is? That's writing. That's people who's rewriting the Bible. Let me tell you why we're so powerless to save our marriages and our families and our young people. Because we've abandoned this book and we've embraced a social gospel and a social Bible to try to suit every. We've carved out our Jesus as that fit what we want to live and do. I'm saying this to you. This is the Greek and the Hebrew boys. Just this week I dealt with a man who does not believe that you can really understand the Word of God if you don't read Hebrew and Greek. That's called in the Bible Nicolaitan doctrine. Nico, to conquer. That's where you get your tennis shoes, Nike. Laity means the laity. In other words, you can't understand the Bible unless I tell you. That's Catholicism, pure and simple. That's junk. That's telling you you can't read a Bible and know what God says, that you need Him. I'm telling you, that's wrong as it can possibly be. That's what kept this world in 1,000 years of dark ages, was keeping the Bible from people. But when the Bible got in this old authorized King James Bible, this world exploded with evangelism. It exploded with missionaries. And great revivals burst out across the country. And America was birthed out of this book. Oh, but now we need the Hebrew now. All of a sudden we need the Greek. I told this man this. I said, if you really believe what you're saying, I challenge you to get your Hebrew and Greek Bible and preach from the pulpit this week to your people in Hebrew and in Greek. You can't do it. And if you could, they wouldn't understand a word you said. And you'd be like a barbarian speaking unto them. We're talking about scribes. By the way, if we'd spend our time reading the Bible and not a bunch of books about the Bible, we'd be better off. Spend more time reading everybody's little book. Then he said this, the disputer. The disputer. Now, we're going to get to something here in a minute. He's setting the preface to preaching the cross here. And he said, I want to tell you what's killing the cross. He said, that's this worldly wisdom. He said, that's this scribal junk that don't believe the Word of God and always questioning the Word of God and tearing down the Word of God to people's lives. And then he said, the third thing is those disputed here a while back. Stephen Hawkins died. Did I get the name right? And I'm going to tell you what, you talk about a guy that's a God mocker and a God hater, but the world just lifts him up like he's, if Stephen Hawkins says something, you're supposed to go, wow! No. You talk about ignoramus. A man's burning in hell today. I'm going to tell you, that's not funny either. But I tell you, a man who mocks God and says God doesn't exist. He is exalted in school classes across this country. Stephen Hawking said it. He does not believe the Bible. He does not believe Jesus Christ is God. Does not believe in creation. Does not believe in the cross. Does not believe anything about God. And we exalt him. That's the wisdom of this world he's talking about. That's the dispute of this world. He lived his life disputing the truth of this book. Marx lived his life, communism, socialism, these little snowflakes on these college campuses. By the way, where are these kids getting the idea that they're to leave out of their classes and go protest the Second Amendment? Where's that coming from? The classroom they walked out of. Let me tell you something. This socialism is being taught in our schools. It is subverting into our schools, and they're being taught that they're being dependent on the government. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't want the government feeding my kids. The government is not going to feed my kids beans. They're not going to feed my kids cheese. They're not going to feed my kids tomatoes. I'm going to feed my own kids, and I don't need the government doing that. I'm not going to raise a bunch of socialists. I don't need Lenin. I don't need Marx. I don't need Venezuela. I don't want my great-grandchildren digging through garbage piles to try to find something to eat. That's where socialism will take you. The disputers. Darwin was a disputer of the Word of God. Notice the two wisdom. There's the wisdom of the world and there's the wisdom of the Word. You say, well, Reggie, what are you talking about? Notice the word. He said Jews or Greeks. Now, hang on to your hat here for just a minute. You know, whenever I went into school, you know, get upper schools, and they'll start telling you, you need to read, Greek mythology. The average kid is exposed to way more Greek mythology than he is the Word of God. Why don't they say you need to read Moses? Why don't they say you need to read Matthew? Why don't they say you need to read Isaiah? Why Homer? Now we're talking, Paul's dealing with this. He's in a cosmopolitan Greek city, Corinth. He is dealing with the problem that's causing people to die and go to hell. He said, you've embraced all this Greek mythology. These Greek gods. By the way, you talk about a bunch of perverts. Every Greek god is a pervert. And our kids are being forced to read this stuff. If you're going to graduate, you've got to read Homer's Iliad. And you've got to read Homer. You've got to read Herodotus. You've got to read Sophocles. You've got to read Socrates. You've got to read Plato. You've got to read Aristotle. Hercules. And all those Euclid and those weird. And that's who the world says, if you're going to get an education, you've got to read after these guys. You've got to know how these queers and sodomites like Plato and Socrates and Aristotle, who were sodomites, you've got to know how they think. And I'm going to throw another one at you. You go to your college and I guarantee you're going to get what's called freshman rush. You know what that is? That's when the, isn't it amazing, Greek fraternities and Greek sororities come after your child. I'm going to say something to you. I know what I'm talking about. I don't need you to tell me. I've been there. I've been at Drury College, and I've been through Freshman Rush, and the nastiest, most ungodly, wickedest, nastiest thing in Springfield, Missouri is the Greek sororities and the Greek fraternity. There's no more nasty, filthy ho-holes than there are in those Greek fraternity buildings up there in Springfield, Missouri. If you want to see porn at its worst, if you want to see the nasty of nasty, go to the frat houses. Come on, a bunch of sissies, you're going to say amen, you're going to sit there and be afraid you're in church this morning. I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not scared of you, and I'm not scared of anybody in this country. I told God the night I preached, and by the way, I'm sick of this snowflake. We're talking about the snowflakes. Our country's full of snowflake Christians. You preach something right, and they won't even say amen. Just act like it's your, oh, don't say stuff like that. It's just the truth. It's swallowing. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You send your girl up there to get in that sorority. I'm going to tell you where she'll be. She'll be drunk as a skunk, naked as a jaybird. Greek. Oh, but we want to be in the Greek business. Isn't it strange that our universities today in America are exactly, isn't this weird that the Bible talks about the Greeks and we're telling them they've got to read after the Greeks, learn after the Greeks, learn everything about the Greeks? That's the basis of all of our education. And then to back that all up, you're nobody on the college campus unless you're in a Greek fraternity or a Greek sorority. Amen. I'm telling you. Then there's humanism. It's taken up instead of holiness. It's humanism. Instead of Calvary, it's cleverism. And then the Bible talks about in Timothy, he said, you beware of what's called so-called science. Now, here's what Paul's getting to. This is where he's getting to. I want to ask you a question. How many of you think all this Greek stuff has any interest in the cross? They don't have any interest in it. To them, it's exactly what the Bible says today. It is foolishness in their eyes. And I'm going to tell you, we need to grow some backbone and realize that if we don't start standing up for the truth, that multitudes are just going to pour in the mouth of hell going into this Greek thing. And by the way, Paul had the guts to walk into the center square of this town and tell them this. And if you think this was accepted, you're crazy. Man, I'll tell you what, this will get you stoned right here. It'll make people sweat under their armpits and make them madder than a hornet. The so-called, Paul called it so-called science. Let me tell you something. Any science that teaches you evolve from monkey is not science. It's a lie. Now, let me say something to you. I think it's fine to get a technical education. I think I'm so for education. Paul said over and over again, it would not have to be ignorant, therefore, my brethren. We need, our founding fathers wanted people to know how to read so they could read their Bibles, so they could read, so they could be educated. I want to tell you something. Education is very, very important. But I'm saying to you this. Technology, engineering, sociology, and you go up there, you have psychology, and then it's philosophy, and then it's business education, political, occult, religion, I don't care. And I want to tell you something about religious studies in your school. Your religious studies brings Christianity and the cross of Jesus Christ down to a level with Allah and all that garbage, all the world's religions. That's what it does. I've looked through textbooks. I've had preachers in this county bring me the school textbook and say, Reggie, wait, look here, they've got Christianity in our history books. You know what it's about? The Crusaders. They're not Christians, I'm sorry. And there's no word in there about the cross of Calvary and that unless you come to Christ, you will die and go to hell. They wouldn't dare put that in it. And all they want to justify is, oh, it's got religion in it. Well, let me tell you something. All of these without the cross is sheer vanity. Or worse, it leads people to hell. By and large, it's a total opposition. Our educational system, our learning, our wisdom, this Greek world that Paul's talking about here. You have to admit to me, hey, I'm going to tell you something right now. The only Jesus that's really welcome in our educational system is a real passive Jesus who doesn't stand for nothing. He wouldn't demand repentance from anybody. What happens is, by and large, let me tell you what's coming. Right now in California, there's legislation up there that will criminalize Christianity. And it will move out of your East Coast and West Coast into the Central United States. Not only criminalize the Christian faith, but they've already marginalized it. They've midgetized it. They've reduced it and relegated it to other religions. But in essence, what they have done is rejected the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In America, scholarship is exalted. Let me tell you something. This is truth. I'm just being flat out honest with you. I've known a lot of preachers in 36 years of preaching. I just didn't come in on the last load. And I know preachers I've loved. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's exactly what Jesus said. Don't be called a master. He said, don't exalt yourself. He said, don't put titles on the back of your name. You listen to me? Every time I've known a preacher who went out after he'd been preaching 5 or 10 years, he decides he's going to enroll in some college and get his doctorate degrees. He gets to where he ain't worth a flip nickel after he gets his doctorate degree. And the reason he went after the first place is so he could move up in the totem pole of the denominational ladder. And he could get people to think, he likes that doctor so-and-so. I'm doctor. Wouldn't you like that? Dr. Reg Kelly. Wouldn't that sound good? I'm just telling you, you want to be an old-fashioned Bible Christian, just be who you are. But I can tell you right now, I could name the men. They used to love God, love souls. I'm going to tell you something right now. And now all of a sudden, they're equating this with this, and their foundation, Word of God, has been destroyed. There's a reason Jesus said that. Number one, it's like B.R. Lakin's wife said to him, they gave him an honorary doctorate up there, and she got in the car that night, and she looked over at B.R., and he's talking, driving there, and I said, boy, honey, that's pretty neat, ain't it? Got me a doctorate degree. She said, B.R., that doctorate degree is like a tail on a pig. It looks pretty, but it don't make no more ham. It don't make you a better preacher, and if you ain't careful, that tail will take away the ham out of your preaching. Woo! Amen. Where's the humility? Where's the I am nothing without Christ? Where's the humility? As I said a while ago, it's all scholarship and sophistication and now skepticism. Atheists and agnostics, the free thinkers, they hadn't thought enough. Rationalism is irrational. We got Marx. I'll tell you, in this nation right now, Karl Marx, Gandhi, Martin Luther King, who was a social gospel preacher, didn't know no more the gospel of Jesus Christ than a man on the moon. Martin Luther King, Dewey, Darwin, all your gurus and Gibbons and all the rest of them are more exalted in the learning of America than Jesus Christ, and he's the only source of wisdom in this world. He said, Reggie, what are you up to now? I'm here to tear down all the false wisdom of this world and tell you without Christ. Doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Doesn't mean anything. It's controlled propaganda. You want to know who's in charge of our Baal education system in America? It's the National Education Association, who is as anti-Christ and anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-Constitution as you could possibly get. The ACLU and the Sodomites and Planned Parenthood. That's the four entities that's basically in charge of American education right now. The wisdom of this world versus the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God starts with Jesus Christ. This book and the cross of Calvary. Education without Jesus Christ is damnation. And I'm going to get off my little train here for just a minute and say, you say, well, bless God, he ain't preaching on me. I ain't got no education. I'll tell you, you better get an education. We need some doctors. We need some lawyers. We need some dentists. We need some politicians. We need Christians out in the place of this world. We need Christian business owners. But people who will say, without Christ, I'm nothing. Christ is the center of everything that I am. Don't sit there on like a knot on a log and brag about you not having an education. That's silly. Learn all you can learn. Never quit learning. Learn and learn and learn. Now you say, Reggie, what is these truths Paul's talking about here? We talk about the cross. He said this foolishness then, but he said this, the power of God unto us which are saved. I want to preach on the meaning of the cross for just a minute and then we'll be done. The old review of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Calvary began in the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible said he prayed as his blood sweat was great drops of blood. The Bible said they took him to the hall that night, arrested him. The Bible said they smote his face and they beat him. The Bible said in the Old Testament to where he was no longer recognizable as a man. The Bible said they put a crown of thorns upon his head, and I'll tell you, they just didn't set it up for everybody. They crushed it in. The Bible said they pulled his beard out of his face. The Bible said they scourged him. The Bible said they spit on him. Can you imagine the night if I walked up to your son and stuck my nose and hocked my mouth and spit on your son? What would you do tonight? I'm telling you tonight that Jesus Christ was taking our sin upon him. And the Bible said he was on self, bear our sin. Spit was a sign of iniquity, Bible. You didn't spit on people in the Bible. You don't spit on people. It's a form of filth. And Jesus, they spit upon him and they beat him and then they crucified him to the cross of Calvary. And the Bible teaches us that he bore our sins. And I'm saying, you say, Richard, what? I am telling you that all of time and eternity rivets and pivots upon the cross of Calvary. Here's the thing I want you to see. Reggie, if you see the cross, and I wish I had a picture of the cross, I want you to imagine in your mind the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon the cross of Calvary, his face marred more than any man, his visage more than the sons of men. I want you to see his body, the bones are out of joint. I want you to see the blood coming, the beard tuck out of his face. Can you imagine what that does to your face, the ripping the flesh off when they pull your beard off? Can you imagine? The Bible said they buffeted him. That's an old English term, for they beat the living daylights out of him with their fists. He was marred more than any man. Now, he's on the cross of Calvary. What do we see there? Number one, when you look at the cross, this is the message of the cross. When you look at Jesus Christ, you need to understand that that teaches you that man is a sinner. Man is a vile, depraved, wicked, low-down, hell-deserving sinner. I'm telling you right now, this country is full of adultery, it's full of fornication, it's full of lying, it's full of stealing, it's full of drugs, it's full of liquor, it's full of pornography, it's full of sodomites, full of anger and bitterness and sin and hatred. And every sin you could ever imagine, Jesus Christ bore that sin. The cross tells you, man is a sinner. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me tell you what will fix you, and that's that cross. That's the only thing can fix me. That's the only thing can fix you is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. This is what bothers me. We got a generation coming up. They blame mom and dad. They blame the government. They blame this one. They blame that one. We got people that all they want to do is go kill some cop now. I'm going to tell you something. I saw such a rotten attitude in my life. And you need to quit blaming everybody. Quit blaming the world and say, I am a sinner. I want to ask you a question. Are you willing this morning to say to yourself before a holy God, God, be merciful to me. Me, a sinner. We've got the place nobody's a sinner anymore. We're baptizing people who made little shallow confessions of faith in Jesus Christ, who like the devils believe in God and tremble. But does it turn their life around? I'm telling you right now, you'll never get saved till you understand you're a sinner. That cross tells you that man is a sinner. Number two, the Bible tells us that cross tells us that God is holy. We've gotten away from God, the holiness of Almighty God. But I want to tell you what's happening this morning. While you're in this church house, listen to me preach right now at the throne of Almighty God. There are the beasts, those four beasts are before the throne of God, and they're crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. That goes on nonstop before the throne of God this morning. The God of Abraham and Isaac, the God of this Bible, holy, 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 holy. That cross tells you, you say, why? Because God punishes sin. God could not be a holy God if he didn't punish sin. Let me tell you right now, he's going to be the judge of this world. And you say, Reggie, what kind of judge? Well, let me tell you something. You say, I'm going to get by. No, you're not. Let me tell you something. He's a good judge. Amen. God's a good judge. God will do right. God will do just. You say, I tell you what, I want to tell you something right now. If God took one of you little kids, Phil, right there, and some sodomite abducted him and abused him and slit his throat and left him in a ditch somewhere, and that man went before a judge, and that judge slapped him on the wrist and said, now, I won't go out and do that anymore. Well, that man said, well, listen, that's the only thing I ever done in my life. I've done 1,050 things that's good, but that's the only thing I ever did bad. And the judge said, well, I tell you what, I'm just going to let it go then. What would you say about that judge? You'd say he's an unjust judge. I'm going to tell you about God in heaven. You listen to me this morning. I love you. I may never preach to you again in my life, but if I don't, you remember I said this. God is still holy this morning. That's the reason that cross is there, because the holiness of God demands sin be punished. And my sins are going to be punished. Your sins are going to be punished. But the difference is that my sins are punished in Christ. And here's the deal. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. The Bible said, who his own self bare our sins for Christ. Also have once suffered for sin. The just, that's him. For the unjust, that's me. Why? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. You say, this is foolishness to me. God just told you that earlier. You're sitting there saying, I don't want anything to do with this. God just talked about you a while ago. The Bible said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that do not believe. But it's the only thing that will save your soul and deliver you from the power of Satan. You listen to me. Our God is holy. Our God is holy. I'm telling you right now, if you're not careful, you're going to get drunk on worldliness. You're going to get drunk on making a living. You're going to get drunk on the cares of this world. And I'm telling you, every morning we get up in our soul, we ought to say, thank God for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And God forbid that I should glory saving the cross. I am saying to you this, that not only does it show that man's a sinner. I'm telling you right now, is anybody in this building today that doesn't deserve hell? Stand up if you are. And I'm sitting down. Is there anybody in this building that's not sin? I'm going to tell you something further this morning in case you do not understand salvation. Salvation is not you turning over a new leaf and doing the best you can. Salvation is when God the Holy Ghost convicts you of sin, brings you to a place of repentance. You call upon the Lord to save you, trust in Jesus Christ. God the Holy Ghost births a new man inside you. Let me tell you something. It's not reformation. It's not do better. It's a new person inside you. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. January the 24th, 1982, at an altar, God saved my soul. God moved in my body. God moved in my spirit. He birthed a new man in Jesus Christ here. I'm talking about being saved. I'm not talking about getting religious. And I'm going to tell you another thing God will do. God will give you eternal life. God will make a new creature in Jesus Christ, give you eternal life. He'll set you on the road to heaven, and he'll never forsake you nor leave you. But I want to tell you what the cross also shows, and that's the wrath of God against sin. The Bible said the wrath of God abideth on him. If we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God said the wrath of God abides on him. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness. You say, well, I tell you what, my little God, he sits there and he doesn't mind my pornography. My God sits up, He doesn't mind my lying. My God sits up, but He doesn't mind my liquor. My God sits up, but He doesn't mind. I want to tell you, you ain't got the God of the Bible. The Bible said that His wrath, He said His wrath is against all unrighteousness. And by the way, God's the one who determines what righteousness is. I'm saying this to you, that either God's wrath is on you or Christ is on you. You don't have to die and go to hell. And by the way, you don't have to live a miserable life in this life. I'll tell you, I'm so happy I'm saved. If there's anybody having more fun living than I am, I'm glad for you, but I doubt it. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm glad I'm saved. I'll tell you, bless God Almighty, I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad I called to preach. God made my life worth living. God has put purpose in my life. Listen to me. I'd literally be caring that I would have been a candidate for suicide had I not found Christ. I'm the kind of person that I would have just said, it's all vanity, it's vanity. There's no reason to live anymore. But Christ, Jim, gave me a reason every morning to get up. I smile at God when I go to bed, and I thank God when I wake up, and I'm glad I'm saved. I've got this life and life eternal. Listen, this is a reality. Oh, listen, I'll tell you, you know what we need? We need some old-fashioned selling out to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the wrath of God's against sin. You say, what are you talking about, Reggie? It also shows the penalty of sin is death. The Bible said the wages of sin is death, and that's not just physical sin. There is spiritual death. The Bible talks about the second death. That death is separation from God in eternal lake of fire. Can you imagine this morning? Can you imagine? Can you imagine standing before God Almighty and you're not saved? And He says, cast him into outer darkness. And they were cast into the lake of fire forever and forever. I want to tell you something. The penalty of sin is still separation from God eternally in the lake of fire. I'll tell you, I'm so sick and tired of it. It's making it hard. All these social gospel and prosperity gospel and all this social gospel junk, I'm saying, they make preachers that preach on hell. They scour you. I mean, they mock you. They make fun of you. Oh, you're one of those old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone preachers. You know why I am? Because this book still says it. And I'm going to tell you almost the next to the last chapter of this book says that those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, and you'll never get out. You'll go to hell, the lake of fire, forever and forever. Oh, you don't want to scare people like that. That makes me sick. The Bible said that Noah, being moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That's God, I don't want to go to hell. Amen. And if you do, you're crazy. Can I tell you something? You are not going to hell to drink beer with your buddies. I'm going to tell you something right now. No beer in hell. No Bud Light in hell. No wine in hell. No liquor in hell. No marijuana in hell. No pornography in hell. Can you imagine? You listen to me. I don't know if Barbara Bush was saved or not. I kind of doubt it. I'm honest with you. All that religious rigmarole don't impress me none when you're somebody that believes in killing babies. Yeah. She was pro-abortion. But I'm going to tell you something. I hope she was saved. I'm telling you, I hope she. God's not willing that any perish. I don't want anybody to die and go to hell. But can I tell you that if she died lost this week, she is right now, while you are sitting in your seat, screaming in the bowels of hell, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. She wishes she had got off that Episcopalian religious bus and got saved. It's not funny. You say, well, you're serious about this. You better believe I'm serious about it, because if hell's not real, I'll quit preaching today. This will be the last message I ever preach. But hell is real. And woe be to us preachers who are dilly-dallying. Can I tell you something? You don't need 14 seminars about your marriage. You need to get right with God. You don't need some deal about how to raise your kids. You need to get right with God and read this book. I'm so sick of all the Christianity stuff. A million books out here of how to do this and how to do that, how to be this and how to be that, and won't even read their Bible. Always looking for some humanistic, worldly wisdom solution. Can I tell you something about the wrath of God? If you could go to hell for 5 minutes a day, I had a woman call me up, bless her heart, I'm all for her, I'm praying for her. She says, Reggie, I got saved 2 years ago, and she said, I know I need to quit smoking. Now, I'm going to tell you something, quit smoking won't save you. But she wants to quit smoking. And she says, I'll quit for 5 days, and here it comes back, and you know, I got to have another cigarette. Can I tell you something? If she went to hell for 5 minutes, she'd quit smoking. You say, I can't quit what I'm doing. I can't quit my pornography. Yes, you could. Remember that thief who comes through your hallway and steps on your foot? You just don't want to bad enough. You say, I quit my drugs. I just can't. Yeah, you can. Yes, you can. Not in your own power you can't, but in the power of Christ you can. And I'm going to tell you something. If you went to hell for 5 minutes, you'd come back and quit your drugs. I promise you. I promise you. You spend 5 seconds in hell, you'd come out of there saying, bless God, I ain't doing nothing to displease with my Lord. That's exactly right. I'm tired of this Mickey Mouse, all kinds of stuff. We're so full of Christian psychology and Christian counseling, makes me sick. Where's the old time? Boy, I feel sorry for our forefathers. Man, those guys wrote the Constitution, and those guys that built this country, and them old time preachers, they didn't have Focus on the Family, and they didn't have all these ministries. They didn't have all the radio and TV and magazines we got. And they built people with faith who could bury their children along the trail of the wagon train and say, the Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But if our car breaks down, we think God's taken away from us. I'm sick to death of sissy Christianity. I'm going to tell you what. We got a lot more snowflakes than just a bunch up to college. It's a bunch of snowflake churches, a bunch of snowflake preachers won't preach on nothing. They're afraid of everybody in their congregation. And I'm telling you this morning, we got snowflake Christianity. And I'm telling you, the cross will take care of every problem you've got. Take it to the cross. Take it to the cross. But nobody wants to go to the cross. You know why? At a cross, you die. You die. You die at a cross, and you know that's what happened, so you don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to go to the cross. My flesh wants to live, but the cross kills. The penalty of sin is death, and it always will be. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how many flowers they stack up around your casket. I don't care how much that preacher lies about you. If you're not born again in the Spirit of God, you'll bust hell wide open. I'm telling you right now, we also see at the cross the justice of Almighty God. Let me tell you, God is just. God is just. Sin will be paid for. And then I want you to get this today. When you look at the cross, this is something you need to really get. Please understand this. I grew up in, I told my mom this morning. I said, Mommy, I love you. You're the best mom in the world. She was hurting. She smiled. But my mama, she exposed me to God. I'm so thankful that I grew up in a home. My mama's Bible was marked and read, and it didn't look new. It looked worn. It wasn't unusual for me to walk in the house and see my mother with her Bible open reading. It was not unusual at all to walk in my house and my mom be back here somewhere on her knees praying. That was not unusual for me if it was a boy growing up. I like that old-time religion. But I'm going to tell you something. You're talking about learning education. We need to know what the Bible says. But I grew up somehow or another. Listen to me. Please listen to me. I grew up somehow or another thinking that my good, if it outweighed my bad, I'd go to heaven. If it didn't, I'd go to hell. And it just seemed like I was going like this all the time. And you just get to where you just give up because I'll never be good enough. And you don't understand. I am telling you, when you look at the cross of Calvary, if you never see nothing else that I preached this morning, you look at that cross, you see this. That salvation is by blood sacrifice substitution. Salvation is by blood sacrifice substitution. Somebody had to die in your place and suffer the wrath of God and the penalty of sin and the holiness of God against that sin. And Jesus did that on the cross for you. He did that on the cross for you and I. The cross says something. It blows away all the self-righteousness of the world. And it says this, you cannot save yourself. You're never going to be good enough. You're not going to be nice enough. But I want to tell you something else the cross says when you look at it. It tells you that He died for sinners. It tells you that your sin, listen to me, your sin is paid for in Christ. And all you've got to do is come to the cross, not to a church, not to a preacher, but come to Christ at the cross and kneel at the cross and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what God does? God takes your sin, He imputes it to Jesus Christ, takes Christ's righteousness and imputes it to you, and He saves you. And when you look at the cross, if you don't see anything else, you understand that God literally lays the law down here and says, salvation is by substitution. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us. The day that the game's up for you, and you come to the cross, and you just, all you can think to say is just, God, have mercy on me. Lord, I'm not coming to you and saying how good I'll be next week. I probably won't be. I'm not telling you what I'll do for you. I probably won't do nothing. If it is, it'll probably be tainted by pride and selfishness. But God, I come to the cross for mercy today, believing that you died in my place for my sin. And that's where I place my faith. Let me tell you something about Reg Kelly. If you don't know anything about me, I am as hell deserving as any man in Wright County, more so. But let me tell you where I've hung my hope and my soul is hung on. It is hung on the cross. That's where it's hung. I'm not going to heaven because I preached. I'm not going to heaven over any. I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for me on that cross. A substitutionary blood sacrifice is what it'll take to save you. And that's why I'm so glad that whether you're never lived outside of your county and you can't hardly read very well, that God will save you if you call upon Him. And I don't care if you're loaded with degrees, you're very, very smart and very, very learned. God, the ground's all level at the cross. You need to see that. that cross tells you something. You're not going to be saved by how good you're going to live or how not good you're going to live. You're going to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. Did you hear it? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't know about you, but I've been thinking about this thing all week, and the cross tells us we can't save ourselves. Only God can save us. The cross tells us of the love of God. For God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I want you to do something right now. I want you to take the finger of your heart, and I want you to place it right here. I want you to say to yourself, God so loved me. God just didn't pick out a few people in here he loved. God didn't go down over Wright County, Douglas County, and say, well, I like that one, and I like, Christ died for sinners. Can I tell you what? Self-righteous crowd will never get saved until they're broken of their self-righteousness. The cross tells you about how much God loves you. He gave his son to die for you. The cross tells you this, that the debt is all paid. When Jesus died on the cross, it was all paid. Not part of it, but all of it. The cross tells us that it kills. It kills. All who go to the cross die. That's a blessing. Because that's what has to happen. It's to be old, to die. Be risen in newness of life in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you this in closing. The cross does something. It divides and it separates. Now listen to me well. I would rather you walk out this building, get in your car, lost, than to lie to you. I don't want you to do that. But rather than me lie to you and talk you into some kind of false conversion, you get ready. Brother Jeremy, we need some old-time preaching, the cross that separates people. We need to tell people it's going to separate you, because it will. You know why young men are not surrendering to preach? Because they know if they really meant it, man, it'd separate them. There were two thieves on each side of that cross. That cross of Calvary was in the middle. That cross separates. Can I tell you that if you come to Christ, it'll separate. That cross separates heaven from hell. It separates the saved from the lost. It separates the light from the darkness. It separates lies from the truth. And it will separate you from your friends. That's why a lot of people don't come to Christ. They know it may cost them their family, their friends. I'll tell you, you talk about a happy day. A 28-year-old married young father with one son and one on the way. And the day came to my soul that I'm not worried about what my buddy's thinking about me longer. I'm not going to hell over what my buddy's thinking. You better quit that too. I wouldn't let my buddies send me to hell over. I'll tell you what, are you some kind of a wimp? Are you afraid of what other people think about you? Let that drag you to hell? Good grief alive. I'm praying, Brother Lonnie, that God will give us some men who don't care what anybody in this county thinks. They're going to serve God. And they're not going to compromise to be everybody's lapdog either. That's what we got. Can I tell you something? You can just say what you want to. Revival's not going to come to this land until we let the cross separate us. In closing this, the cross will save you or it'll sentence you. What have you done with the cross? It's not some kind of ornament hanging around your neck. That cross will either save you or it'll sentence you. Either one or the other. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, I beg and plead of you in Jesus' name that you would hide me from the view of people's eyes, that they might look on the cross of Calvary this morning and see that it's their only hope. That apart from the cross, Lord, they have no hope. But with the cross, they have every hope. I pray, God, today that you'll cause people to repent of sin, to come out from the world, and to come to the cross of Calvary. Lord, you said the cross is offensive to this whole world, and it is. They don't like it. They don't like to know that they're a sinner. They don't like to know that they're going to hell. They don't like to know that you're holy. They don't like to know that you're just. They don't like to know that your wrath is upon sin. And they don't like to know, God, that their righteousness is as filthy rags. God, today I pray, oh God, through the foolishness of preaching, that you would make people to know that you love them, that you give your son to die in their place, that they don't have to go to hell. The cross, Lord, tells us that salvation's a gift that has been paid for. God, I pray, make that real in their hearts. And I pray, Lord, today that those who are saved will leave this place today just whispering from their souls, Lord, thank you for the cross. As our heads are bowed and eyes closed today, I'd like the pianist and the song leader to come, and I'd like to sing that song, The Old Rugged Cross. The old rugged cross. The old rugged cross. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Let me just share my heart with you a little bit today. Reg Kelly, by nature, is a very, very proud person. My heart is just exactly what the Bible says it is. It is desperately wicked. It is deceitful above all things. Were it not for this Bible, I could not even know my own heart. I am thankful today that God is continuously sweeping away all of my righteousness, all of my, exposing my pride, thinking I'm something when I'm nothing. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. Those of you who are saved, I want to encourage you today to think about this soberly and seriously. What are you glorying in today? What are you glorying in today? Have you shifted from glorying in the cross to glorying in your, quote, faith, your activities, your service, your ministry, your character, your possessions? What are you glorying in today? I promise you this one thing, that when we stand before the throne, there will be no glorying except glorying in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this, by whom I am crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto me. That cross will crucify you to this world. You cannot be a friend of this world and be the friend of God. May God give you light. May God give you grace. May God give you the spirit of truth. May God give you the spirit of righteousness of Jesus Christ. As the pianist begins to play today, I want to ask you a question. Isn't it time that you came all out for Christ? Isn't it time that you fell at His feet at the foot of the cross? Isn't it time that you quit following the world? Today is the day of salvation. My prayer is today that you'll get back to the old rugged cross and realize the wisdom of this world will lead you straight to hell. It hates the cross. It hates Christ. But only Christ will save. In just a moment, we're going to stand. Here's what I want you to do. You come do business with God today. These old altars are open as they are all the time. If you're here today and you're lost without God, I beg of you in Jesus' name, forget about me being here, forget about others being here, and come to the cross and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I am leaving my past life. I am coming to Christ. I'm coming to Christ. I'm not coming to a church. I'm not coming to a denomination. I'm not coming to a preacher. I am coming to Christ. That's who God will hear today. You're here today and you're not saved. I beg you in Jesus' name, before it's too late, come to Christ. Come to the cross. And again, if you're here today and you just say, Brother Reggie, I just need to get back to the cross. That's my problem. You know, folks, when I see people getting all out of sorts, drifting away from God, piddling around with their life and their faith, I know one thing. They're no different, Reg Kelly. They've gotten away from the cross. Get back to the cross today. Let us stand. And you come, as they sing, the old rugged cross. You need to do business with God today. You come. God bless you, man.